Moncrief on News Talk.
We're joined in the studio by two decadent Westerners, Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. Good afternoon to you.
How's it going?
Westies. On the west side. Right. My now husband got married 2 weeks ago, did something on our wedding day that really upset me. And I don't think I can't bring it up. Just want to know what to say and how to approach it. I come from a very conservative family where we would never talk about sex at home. I know this seems really outdated, but that's just how my parents are. I don't know what families do sit around talking about sex. Anyway, my husband's family are different. During his speech, he told a very graphic story about a time we were in a hotel room in Vegas having sex when the cleaner walked into the room. The story got a lot of laughs and he was chuffed with himself after. My issue is he went into a lot of graphic detail about what we were doing. The fact that we were naked when you were having sex and what the cleaner said. This story did not go down well with my parents and put a real dampener on my day. We went on honeymoon the day after our wedding. Wonder where you went. So I said nothing. But now I am back. I really need to bring it up. To be honest, I want to shout the head off him for telling the story, but it's not the best way to start married life. My family and parents are really important to me, and as outdated as their opinions of sex may be, they should be respected. Plus, I didn't need 200 people, including some of those I work with, to hear this story. It's an expensive wedding, 200 people. My gosh.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they didn't do a day two. Because they went on honeymoon the second day
after.
Okay,
that's good to know.
So that's good, yeah. First of all, congratulations on getting married. Best of luck, not long ago, and all the rest of it. When I read this first, my first reaction was, oh, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Get over yourself. Everybody has sex. And so your husband stood up and told a raunchy story, like, so what? Nobody gives a hoot. But then when I thought about it, I kind of thought, like, the husband clearly must have known that her parents are quite conservative and, you know, would get a bit offended by the story. And therefore, by association, he might put her into an awkward situation as well. And so I kind of thought that maybe it wasn't the most clever or thoughtful thing that this new husband might have embarked on. Now, I'm all for telling a funny story and I'm all for getting a laugh. And I know how addictive that can be and it can make you throw caution to the wind. So given him the benefit of the doubt, I think that's probably what happened, you know, that he didn't actually think it through. He got caught up in the giddies of going, this is a great story, I'm going to share it. So my advice to this woman would be, cool your jets a little bit. Shouting the head off him is not going to be the cleverest, I think, thing to do. I think you need to tell him, though, and I think you need to pick your moment, like when you're both a bit mellow and you're on your own and everything's calm, and you just say, look, you know, when you did that, I know it was really funny and all the rest of it, but you knew my parents were going to make them really uncomfortable, and you did. And therefore, like, I was uncomfortable, and, you know, I'd prefer if you hadn't have done it, and maybe, you know, so that in the future, if we ever get married again, you won't do it again. But I think you have to give the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, you guys, 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, whatever it is now, you know, you're apparently in the honeymoon period. So kind of, you know, try not to let this kind of fester, if you like, for a long time. But pick your moment, calmly let him know it wasn't the cleverest idea, but then get over it and move on, because it really wasn't that big a deal. I think he just got carried away.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think definitely this incident happened in a specific context, which on one side, you know, it was, oh, I need a story, I need to tell something, so I'll just get whatever my material is. And he went for it and he made a bad choice. Then there's also the people that were in the room. I mean, you know, read the room, know who your audience is, a classic. Yeah. He made an error there, but whatever. You can go over, you know, I've done it myself. I have these kind of tremors over gigs I've done in the past that just live with me forever. And I go, you have to just let these things go. She's not letting it go. And I wonder, you know, have her parents mentioned anything? Has anybody said anything to her since she's been back? Because suddenly this issue is back on the table, whereas she's had a honeymoon.
Yeah.
Presumably new memories to fill up that part of her brain. Yeah. So why is this coming back to it? Because the reality of it is, and I noticed it as you were describing the conversation that she might have with him, when it got to the bit where there was an actual consequence, your comment was, if we ever get married again. Because the reality of it is that, like, and what's the actual end game of this? You can go over and say, when you did that, that was bad and it was this consequence and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But what's the actual, lesson to be learned going forward.
Just don't do it again. I mean, I know they're, I mean, I was being funny about
that. No, I know that, but I was thinking, because that's the thing that he's going to go, well, get over yourself. That was a couple of weeks ago. And well, I mean, we come from different worlds.
In a few months, it'll be Christmas and maybe they'll all be together for Christmas Day or something. And he decides that story was funny. Here, I have another funny story about having sex. Yeah. So it's really just to kind of make him aware.
Is that though a wedding thing? That there's a certain kind of a breed of lad who it's not only about telling funny stories. It always has to be about... And something sexual or, you know, why did you have to mention the gimp mask?
Some people and some comedians think... some people and some comedians think that, like, funny equals filthy. And they think that they have to go there. And, you know, the blue joke was the classic thing that people... Oh, don't do any blue jokes. I won't. But the reality of it is that the part of the culture, the clash of two cultures, is kind of significant. His perspective and his... approach to what's permissible in public life, and her view and her family's view are different, and she's recognizing that. Okay, I come from a kind of she's calling it a conservative background. He probably doesn't see the world like that at all. So what they're doing is they're actually having their first clash of vibes.
But he should be able to see. I accept that, and I think you're right. But he should be able to bear in mind time and place. Like, that story might have been really funny. It might be a great story down the pub. Might have been a great story at a stag. Might have been a great story in a million environments. But at a wedding, regardless of the fact that her parents are very conservative, you very often have Granny Nora and Auntie Mary and Uncle Jack who are 110. And they mightn't find it that funny either. You might have, if they got married in a church, the priest. Do you know, you have to take into consideration, as you say, read the room. Yeah. Like, this was not... the venue for this kind of joke.
And everybody, even despite the fact that it is a celebration, it's kind of like a formal celebration. So a lot of people are a little bit on their best behaviour, or a little bit, you know, they're
also
not uncomfortable.
It is slightly disrespectful to his wife if she didn't know that he was going to do this. I mean, if he was thinking of doing it, the first thing he should have done is said, listen, I'm thinking of telling that story. Like, are you
about
okay
Vegas.
With that?
I mean, what do we say about Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, come on. What's
exactly.
Dave in Vegas.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'd be pretty sure that it was 200 people at that wedding. I'm sure there was lots of people who wouldn't see themselves as conservative, but you just who might think in that context.
Yeah, it's not.
That was a bit tasteless to do that.
Yeah.
And but is there a problem here for her in that it's not like we were out with friends and you embarrassed me, which is a thing you can get past.
Yeah.
It's you ruined my wedding day. That's a much bigger deal.
I think that's over egging the pudding a little bit for her to say you ruined my wedding day. I mean, clearly she was uncomfortable about it. But by
really
the time they got
thing.
To the speeches, she had all the walking up the aisle, walking down the aisle. She had all her photos, you know.
But the really funny thing, though, is that, you know, if you're a bride and you're going, oh, I want to have my lovely picture of me in the church and standing beside the waterfall and by the cake and all that kind of stuff, they're your memories, Grant. But the takeaway that my
anyone who sees those pictures, they're thinking
the
of something else.
They're thinking about floor 72 in Caesar's Palace. And they'll be thinking about that at every sales meeting you're at for the rest of your career. So,
I think she has to let him know that it wasn't appropriate. Without actually, you know, going too heavy on it.
Yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Anne says, are good manners and seemly behaviour completely out of fashion?
Seemly.
I can't stand how crude discourse has become now. And it's woke to accept all types of behaviour, no matter what the occasion.
Anne,
it was a wedding full of Kamala Harris supporters. That's what it was. I was at a wedding once and the bride's speech started off with, I know he's not good looking, but... And downhill from there. So she shouldn't worry about it. Just tell him their sex life is not a spectator sport and move on. My brother's wife made a really embarrassing speech at the wedding, all about stupid things he had done in his youth. As my 80-something-year-old aunt and his said, some things are better left unsaid. I haven't seen her since 2019. Fine by me. What a buffoon that husband is. It's like when Ron Burgundy loudly exclaimed to the newsroom that he had sex with Veronica Corningstone. Basically, she had just married Ron Burgundy. Does me smell of Sex Panther. That's full of film references there.
Wow.
I'd be furious if my husband said that at my wedding. She needs to address this or it will fester for years. Someone else wonders, the real question is, what did the cleaner say when she walked in? And somebody else says, we need a full transcript of the Las Vegas story to make an informed judgment on this case.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, but general consent? Yeah, I'm 43, very liberal, but that story was completely out of line at a wedding. What a pig.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He just, like, how many times has he spoken in public? Like, he just didn't read the room. He didn't get it. He was a bit stupid. He went for the big laugh. He probably got a big laugh. But, it wasn't clever.
No.
If you're getting married, go through your speeches with each other.
Yes, exactly.
Apart from, obviously, I love you bits, any stories should be vetted in advance.
Exactly.
But presumably she can't wait too much longer because, as you say, Christmas might come around, and I assume her parents now aren't thinking, "Whoa, he's a catch."
And I think that's probably at the root of this.
And he's going to be ready for that.
Do you know, when you get married, you do want your parents and your family to approve of your choice of life partner.
Yes.
And I think if they're going, "Well, he's a bit of a mess," that's not great.
I do think that though the vibe, that the impression that you might have of somebody when they enter into the family can change and evolve as you get to know them better. I think that if the parents aren't going to be forgiving in that respect, then they're equally at fault.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
But I do think that
she needs
to address it. The next time anything gets mentioned about Vegas, you go, "Oh, that reminds me."
Yeah.
Bring up the old story. You bringing up that story about Vegas at our wedding was a really silly move. And it's also my mum and dad have mentioned it to me since.
But I mean, that's all it was. It was silly, I think.
Or even worse, my mum and dad haven't mentioned it to me since. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you know that's how big it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anne, who was on there giving out about people being woke, you're going to love this question, Anne. While I'm not a massive eco-warrior or anything, I do feel we have a shared responsibility to make more effort. For the past 10 years, my husband and I have been composting, and we are pedantic to a degree when it comes to sorting and using our green and brown bins correctly. My brother is a successful businessman and lives in a gorgeous house up in Dublin. However, every time we go there for dinner, we're always horrified to notice that neither he nor his wife compost. Monsters. In fact, they don't even use the green bin either. They just chuck everything in together to the black bin. They even throw their bottles in the general waste.
Oh,
I have mentioned it to him how awful and entitled I find this, but he says I should mind my own business and that he doesn't have time for worrying about bins.
Bless him.
It's got to the point now where I actually don't want to go to their house anymore because it infuriates me so much. What should I do?
What would Anne do?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Anne. We're still friends.
Yeah.
Anne's obviously married to this fellow with the big house.
Yes. The really interesting thing about this, obviously, is that many of us, if not most of us, acknowledge the fact that the ask of society around kind of environmental issues is for a legitimate and good reason. And therefore, people who make an effort, although sometimes it can feel like it is an effort, kind of struggle with it sometimes. And not everybody shows up doing the same game for the same thing. And there are obviously many people who are selfish enough or oblivious enough to not get involved with the recycling or the composting or the using the right bins kind of scenario. The thing about it, though, is that it's, you know, while we have the option to use those bins, I don't think that there's any legal prescription on us that we have to do recycling. There's nobody being hauled into the courts for putting stuff in the green bin that should go in the brown bin and vice versa. So from that point of view, you know, the person who wrote the letter in, while they are morally perhaps correct in an actual rational or practical way, they don't really have any leg to stand on, short of basically doing the work for the brother in Dublin who's the big house. And from that point of view, I completely understand their kind of horror, and they go, "Oh, that's just because somebody else having a different perspective on the world than you can be horrifying." Don't you know, Barbara?
You do Martin? Know.
You do what? Know. You know.
What?
Never mind.
What's he getting at now?
I don't know either.
But I suppose what I'm saying
is... I feel weirdly uncomfortable now.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, Barbara.
I don't know what I'm to defend myself against.
No. Just acknowledge your fault. The bottom line from this person's point of view who wrote the letter is to get off their high horse maybe a little bit, because if you want to take somebody to a different place, you have to kind of bring them. You don't scream at them and kind of, it's the, you know, the old carrot rather than the stick.
As
long as that carrot ends up in the compost.
It probably
that's the important
would.
Thing.
Yes, yes. Or the brown bin.
Frozen compost.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, he asks at the end, like, what should I do? Nothing. Like, you can do absolutely nothing. This guy, like, he's not the recycling police. So therefore...
Because there aren't any recycling police.
There aren't any recycling police. So, you know, and I mean, I say that, and I'm married to somebody who is Like, we have nearly come to blows at times over my husband's obsession with the bin. He sticks his head in the bin when he comes in the door before he says hello to anybody to make sure that nobody's put something in there in the wrong bin.
Good yeah.
for
him.
Oh, no, yeah. he's a nutcase. And ever since this new system came in, you know, with the bottles and the tins.
Oh, yeah.
He is in heaven.
There's money to be made in that.
He says we're making a tenner a week.
Good.
A tenner a week wow. off okay, our grocery time. Shopping.
How much beer do you drink, Barbara?
It's him. It's his beer. It's his beer. Yep. But anyway, but so yeah, I mean, like, and he would be equally horrified at somebody like this. And I, like, it is, it's everybody's responsibility to try and, you know, do our best to aid biodiversity and to climate change and all that kind of stuff. But as you say, you can't force somebody to come around to your way of thinking.
No,
and
no.
It does smack, and this is what I think is one of the things that's really annoying him, is that it does smack a bit of privilege. You know, because as far as I can remember, the black bin costs you money, whereas the green bin doesn't. Am I right? That's the incentive to use recycling and the green bin and all the rest of it. He obviously has loads of money, doesn't care that it's costing him whatever it's probably costing him every week to put out his black bin, and he chucks everything into it. And I understand how frustrating that is. It, you know.
Although the waste companies are going to, I think they want to charge for the green bin now because all the good stuff is being taken out by your husband to make 10 euro.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But I mean, yeah, you know, he's going to give himself a migraine. This is his brother. I don't think you should stop going to visit him over this. You know, there's nothing you can do. He's, your brother is aware of how you feel. You can't force him to change. If he changes, he changes. If he doesn't change, stop looking at his bin.
If he doesn't change, the world will be on fire.
Would it not be a strategy every time they go up to visit this brother that you go out and have a look and see, oh, you're still not putting stuff in the bin?
No, because it's giving him a migraine.
Of course it's giving him a... No, but it'll give the brother a migraine sooner or later. He'll go, okay, we'll do it just in advance of Johnny coming up. And he'll put the stuff in the bin and go, see, I did it.
Yeah.
Can you not mention it for the rest of the night?
I don't think that'll work. I think that'll only reinforce him into, yeah, no, we don't bother.
It kind of reflects the bigger issue from society's point of view, is that if you have like a certain percentage of our communities who are actually adhering to the suggestion, because even the suggestion of doing the bins is a token measure rather against the major problem we have with you know, environmentalism. So if only a portion of us are actually following the rules and other people aren't, and they're not on board, we're kind of screwed unless we can find a way
but
to
also
get those
he's,
people.
Like my husband, bless him, is fixated on the bin issue.
Yeah.
Like, you could equally say, oh, my neighbour was out squirting Roundup on the weeds in the garden the other day. Like that would upset me. You know, I've been spend a lot of time down the country this summer, and I can walk past cows, you know, with a free conscience, knowing I'm not going to eat the cow. But I hate the idea that
I thought you were talking about the cow's impact on
recycling,
the environment because of the methane from
the
farm.
Yeah, well, you see, that's it. Which, see, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, so you can get
do
your
the cows
knickers.
Know? Do they look at you more in a more friendly way?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, no, they definitely
not
do.
To the enemy. Yeah.
They can sense it, I think. They've got a sixth sense about
it's
these
the
things.
It's the smugness they can smell.
Oh, maybe it's that. Oh, you're funny.
Is that Linda McCartney over there?
Thank you very much. Yeah, just call me Linda. That's fine.
Someone says composting and... there's going to be a few of those points. Someone says it is now the legal responsibility to use your bins correctly, and a local authority can issue a 3,000 euro fine for incorrect use.
I didn't know that.
My local council has started inspections.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's Big Brother stuff.
Do you mean ding-a-ling on the door? Can I look at your
bins? Yeah,
bins, yeah. Sure, would be delighted if that ever happens.
He'll get an A+ and a star.
He's going to get a gold medal.
They're taking our freedoms away, people. Someone else says,
woke gone mad.
Woke gone mad. Someone now has addressed this text to you, Barbara, but they call you Babs.
Okay, the last person to call me Babs is dead.
Okay,
don't call me Babs.
So, Texter, just a lesson for you.
That's a coincidence, Barbara. Yeah, just clarify that.
Yes. You're not making a tenner a week. Your tenner is being held for ransom until you return the bottles.
Yeah, I know that. But you have to pay the tenner anyway.
Yeah.
Whether you recycle it or not, you get it back if you put it in the machine.
During COVID, when I was working from home a lot and having my desk close to the window, I turned into a proper curtain twitcher during end of Zoom meetings. One thing that still worries me to this day is seeing one of the neighbours constantly putting their kid's dirty nappy into the brown bin.
Oh. Do you know, we were only talking about that the other day with the brown bin. Can you put, here's a question now, because our listeners are very smart. Can you put dog poo, if it's in one of those biodegradable poo bags, into the brown bin?
I would have thought so.
Can you? I was afraid to do it. I don't know if I can.
To be honest with you, half the reason I mow the back lawn is you just scoop up all the dog's crap, really, and that goes all in the brown bin.
Yeah.
It's nature.
Do you not pick up the dog poo first?
No, it just goes into the into
you have a small dog, have you?
Yeah, small dog. Yeah, it just scoops up into the lawnmower and straight into the
yoki. I'd be covered in dog poo if that happened in our house, yeah. I tried to do a no-mow May this year in May. I said to Sherwood, no-mow May, let's not mow the lawn. I forgot we had a very big dog. Oh, mother of God, trying to hunt the dog poo before I did then
like
cut the grass.
Like when somebody gets chewing gum in their hair.
Oh, it was awful. I just said never again.
Just brown chewing gum in their hair.
And it stank.
It let it all come out.
Oh, it's awful. It was terrible.
Oh, gosh, dog poo can't go into regular compost.
No, you see, I knew
I've
that.
I've just been told.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. No, I'm an environmental criminal.
My God, misinformation.
Oh, 3,000 euro fine for me.
Yeah, we come and visit you in prison.
Oh, God.
Did that come from somebody? You can't put dog poo. Is that for sure?
It's got E. coli and salmonella in it.
Yeah, I thought that. I'll go and tell my husband.
Or it might have. It doesn't mean it definitely has.
So that has to go to
the lab. I don't think they test it. I think that might make the whole process a bit expensive.
So does your bran bin go into a place that makes compost that then ends up a fertiliser and then used for vegetables? Am I right
That's what I thought. It all turns into kind of a version of poo, I thought. So that was my logic. Obviously, it was wrong. So there you go.
Yeah,
apparently E. coli and salmonella can contaminate soil and plants.
There you go. So you can't
I'm sorry. I need your help. Last Saturday, my girlfriend and I were in Dublin City Centre for brunch. What help do you need? When we left the cafe, we were chatting away and my girlfriend bumped into her ex-boyfriend. I could tell both were shocked when the encounter happened. They greeted each other with hugs and the small talk followed. She introduced them to me and after a few moments, we parted ways. As we walked down the street, I could see that there were tears in my girlfriend's eyes. I asked her if she was okay and she said she was shocked to see him and I found the experience weird. Obviously, I was shocked when I saw her crying after meeting her ex. My head was racing and I began to think she still has feelings for him. I was clearly wearing my feelings on my face because that night my girlfriend came into the sitting room and apologised once again for what happened. She said she got upset because they had a very bitter breakup and the encounter just brought back that experience. The truth is, I can't move on from it. The last two or three nights in bed, I've been laying there, picturing her crying after meeting him. In my head, the tears mean that she still has feelings for him. I don't know what to do. I was thinking of reaching out to her friends or something. Do you think I'm mad to jump to the worst case scenario?
I know I might
in
be a
word.
I had to read I had to read this twice to understand that this was from a guy talking about his girlfriend. I thought it was two girls. I thought it was my girlfriend. Anyway, so it took me a while to go, I don't understand this. But, okay, so do you think I'm mad you jumped to the worst case scenario? No, not necessarily. And I can imagine this was a very unnerving experience for him to witness his girlfriend's reaction to meeting her ex. But the issue here is there a problem? Like, is the fact that she was in tears and clearly emotionally upset, does it mean that she still has feelings for this ex-boyfriend? And the answer to that is possibly. We don't know. I mean, maybe what she says is absolutely true. It was just that it was, you know, unexpected and it was a bit of a sucker punch because they had this breakup that wasn't particularly amicable. It was difficult. And maybe that is the reason why she cried. And presumably she's not still crying. So, you know, she just cried in the immediate like aftermath of meeting him. And I mean, I think she had tears in her eyes. She wasn't bawling her head going down the street. But for the point of view of your man here, there's really nothing that he can do. Like, I definitely would advise against talking to the friends and making some kind of big yoke out of it.
Oh, God, yeah.
You've got to just, you know, what is the thing? Keep calm and carry on. Mm. That's all you can do. Because even if she does still have feelings, if the relationship is over, those feelings will die eventually. Mm-hmm. She's with you. And as long as everything is okay between you, you know what you know, you know what you saw, but it doesn't, you're putting one and one together and getting four, and it may not be, that isn't the right answer, obviously, but that, like, you may be over reacting to it, but you don't know for sure. And you're just going to have to live with that uncertainty and just carry on and hope for the best.
Or just take her word for it as to why she was upset.
Yeah.
I think her answer is completely believable, plausible.
Legit, yeah.
I think the fact that she came into him is a big green flag in that it shows that even though she had this kind of big emotional weird moment, she was conscious of how it impacted on him and she came to talk to him, which I think is a big thumbs up for her. I think I totally agree with you in that you can't know what the inner workings of somebody's mind about how they feel about other people.
Yeah.
All you can really do is, as you say, Sean, take it on face value that you're with me, therefore that's the thing. I wonder whether the guy knows the reason why they broke up. I mean, not that I'm suggesting that he needs to interrogate the whole thing too much.
No.
But if they broke up in a really bitter way, but was she dumped? Is that what's going on? I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of things that she needs to work through herself.
Yeah.
That she can do in tandem with having a totally functional, happy relationship with him. I think for him to kind of get preoccupied by it is a waste of energy and time, because he's operating in the imaginative and the fantasy world rather than the practical realities of what's going on with them.
Totally agree. And I mean, I'd say her reaction was probably as much a surprise to her as it was to him.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like it.
It sounds like it was like completely out of the blue.
It's the classic, it brought me back there. And, you know, you don't just turn off your feelings with somebody. Even if they turn out to be less of a person than they were when you first got together, you can still recognise a certain amount of affection and your own feelings, not for them, about how you felt. You're being brought back to, you know, that crushing moment or that sad moment, or, you know, how much of a bitch you were to drop them in that last minute.
I kind of find it hard to believe he knows nothing about the circumstances of their split.
You know, do you know what's going on with them? That's the only bit. Do you know why they broke up? Because that's the only
bit. But see, it depends. Does he say how long ago?
Yeah, that's the thing now. If it was only like 4 weeks ago, then I would be worried.
Yeah, but how long are these two going out? They mightn't be together that long. So maybe they haven't gone to the whole kind of, I need to tell you all about my past relationships.
Yeah, I think it's a natural.
Hey, they're having brunch. That comes way after past relationships.
Yeah. What happened?
They're at the brunch stage.
About 10 minutes at the Tinder
date. That's nearly telling filthy stories at the wedding time, that is.
Oh, God.
Brunch? No, not if they're in South Dublin. No, they'd have been having brunch for the first dates.
Well, someone says a lot of people leave brunch in tears in Dublin. It's very expensive. Well, that is true.
Very good.
I had a girlfriend who would have been upset if we had bumped into her ex. She also would have been upset if we had bumped into my ex. Yeah. It was all about her. That's why she's not my girlfriend anymore.
Oh, gosh. Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, that sounded like a really nice text. And then it was like an oh dear, ouch.
And someone else says, you need to take her girlfriend on the next flight to Las Vegas. Yes, that would certainly solve all your problems. Barbara and Jacqueline, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.